Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, as strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to begin this morning a series of sermons under the theme, the Gospel in Hymns. And I promise you this morning I'll be a little shorter than normal because of the heat. On each Sunday for the next 5 weeks, we want to turn our attention to the hymn for that particular Sunday, look at the story behind its reading, look at the message which its writer hopes to convey to us, so that in singing of it, we are blessed by it, and that our attention to it and our understanding of it increases. Now, of course, you might ask me, and rightly so, why did you choose these five particular hymns out of the thousands of hymns that have been written? And the answer to that question is really a simple one. They're either my favorite hymns, or one of you has suggested to me that it's your favorite hymn. And so I'm trying to give attention to both my concern and to your concern. Let me say a couple things before we focus on this great hymn, How Great Thou Art. In my office, right next to the Bible, stands this hymn book. Throughout my ministry now of 50 years, as I have prepared Sunday morning worship sermons, I have given just as much attention to the hymns to be sung as to the scripture passages that we are using. You see, our faith is a faith that from its very beginning has produced a song. We could trace all the events in the Old Testament and New Testament and discover that each one of those events, someplace in Scripture, has caused a song to be sung. In the book of Job, the Lord says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, when the morning stars sang together, and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy?" A song about the beauty of creation. For the Hebrew people, the greatest event in their whole history was that of the Exodus, of their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And that story is told in the song that Kevin read as one of our lessons for this morning. A song of deliverance, a song of the Exodus. When Mary was told by an angel that she would give birth to a child who would be the world's Savior, Mary sang a song of praise. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in the God of my God, my Savior." A song of the Annunciation. On that night that our Savior was born, is there any way of telling the story except to say that an angel spoke to a group of shepherds, "I am bringing you good news of a great joy," and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and I believe actually singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." A song on Christmas Eve. On that night when we observe Maundy Thursday, Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room to observe the Passover meal with them, his Last Supper. And how did that evening end? And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The song on Maundy Thursday. Jesus there on the cross, feeling not only physical pain, but the pain of abandonment, was able to find consolation by recalling a psalm that is an ancient hymn. In our book of Psalms, it's numbered Psalm 22, which begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then it continues in verse 19, but you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. And verse 24 is able to affirm, he did not abhor or despise the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. Maybe Jesus remembered as well the next psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, a song to be sung even on Good Friday. How often when I visit with people and it becomes close to their final days or hours on this earth, we find comfort in repeating again the words of the Psalms, those ancient songs, or the words of familiar hymns. The Reverend Ben Weir, some of you will remember this story. Ben was a Presbyterian minister who became a familiar name to us during the crisis in Iran several years ago, when he was held captive. And upon his release, he told the press that he was able to keep his sanity and his hope by daily singing hymns that were familiar to him. When the Apostle Paul was held in prison, he startled the jailer by singing songs, a song for our trials and our tribulations. And when we get to the end of the good book, which we had in our second reading this morning, a picture of that end time and the redeemed singing, great and amazing are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. And so it has been done down through the long corridor of our church history. The gospel message told over and over again, in poetry, in music, told in hymns. I saw an advertisement for a new book not long ago, which seeks to present the Psalms in the form of contemporary poetry. And the book bears this wonderful title, Words to God's Music. For from the beginning of creation down to the present day, and looking forward to that they envisioned by the writer of the book of Revelation, there has been a precious sound, a precious melody. Call it grace. And then and now and beyond, we will continue to put words to it, for there's a message to be sung. Yes, putting words to God's music. Well, when was the first time you heard this hymn, How Great Thou Art? I remember quite well the setting for me. It was way back in 1950. I attended a Billy Graham crusade in Minneapolis. Billy Graham was just beginning to become a national religious figure. He had been president of a very small Bible school, Northwest Bible Institute. And his career was now shifting from being an administrator of a school to becoming an evangelist. In those early days and for several decades to come, Graham was accompanied by a very tall, dark, handsome gentleman with a marvelous bass voice. His name was George Beverly Shea. And as the Crusades proceeded from Minneapolis to other cities, wherever Shea went, this one hymn was requested over and over again, How Great Thou Art. When in 1957 the Billy Graham Crusade had meetings here in New York City, and maybe some of you older members actually were there, it became a trademark hymn for the Crusade. George Beverly Shea, over the years performing it hundreds and hundreds of times, often singing a verse or two in Swedish. Now, most people did not realize that that hymn was over 100 years old when Shea really made it popular. It was originally written by a young Swedish preacher by the name of Carl Boberg. He was born in 1859. He died in 1940. It was first published in 1886 under the title O Stor Gud. It was originally written simply as a poem, but it lent itself to an old Swedish hymn. Boberg was just 25 years old when he wrote the lyrics of that song. After trekking through a thunderstorm from a church afternoon meeting 2 miles away. And after the thunder shower came the beautiful rainbow and then sunlight. The hymn had a most interesting history. In the years right after it was written, it was translated into German. Wie groß bist du? And then into Russian. And more than 40 years later, a British missionary by the name of Stuart Hine heard the song sung in Russian as Hine and his young wife served as missionaries to the Carpathian area of Russia, which was then a part of Czechoslovakia. Hine had an experience one day so similar to that of Reverend Boberg. Hine speaks of one day finding himself in the midst of a threatening storm. He says the thunder as it rolled through their rough mountain range of the Carpathian Mountains was so awesome that it reminded him of this hymn in its Russian translation. And he began to form English verses that were suggested by portions of the Russian translation. Boberg had written 9 stanzas to his hymn, and Hine translated 3 stanzas from the Russian to the English and then added his own 4th. We're going to sing it later in our service this morning. Right here on Long Island, when Mr. James Caldwell sang How Great Thou Art at the Stony Brook Bible Conference in 1951, it was probably no more than 3 or 4 years later that I heard it sung at that Billy Graham meeting. Little personal story beside that one. You may remember the storm of a few days ago, not last night, but of a few days back. And I was driving on Southern State. I turned off the news station, 880, which I normally listen to. And as I drove, I thought about the sermon I would be preaching today. I thought about Carl Boberg and Stuart Hine, who had been so moved by the power of God, experiencing that thunder shower and the aftermath and of that quiet serenity. That as I drove, I sang as best I could remember the words of that great hymn. For Boberg, for Hine, for George Beverly Shea, for Tom Phillip, and I trust even for you. There's that awesome wonderment of the created order coupled with the awesome wonderment of God's wondrous love and accepted, expanded to us freely without our meriting it. And the melody of this hymn says it so well, a sheer act of grace. In April of 1974, the Christian Herald magazine, in a poll presented to its readers, named How Great Thou Art the number one hymn in America. As I get ready to conclude this sermon this morning, I want you to just let your mind wander. Go to a time or times when you have experienced storms in your life. They might be physical storms, could be a spiritual storm. And experience also, I trust, the serenity that comes when that storm has passed. And let that message well up within you. Words from that great hymn. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.